In the collect of today's Mass, we pray, O God, protector of those who hope in thee, without whom nothing is strong, nothing holy, increase thy mercy upon us, that with thee, our ruler and guide, we may so pass through the good things of this life that we may not lose those of life everlasting. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear graduates, family members, and faithful guests, as we pass through the good things of this life, we may pause to remember those good things now gone, lost, the past. But still we travel on forward, but back to the beginning, I think, the first centuries of Christianity were times of persecution. If not all the way back to Noah, methodically there he is, loading the animals two by two into the ark, and I note that they were male and female, each couple. And the people are standing around, watching, and they're laughing, and it's just starting to rain. The past is prologue. You can't go back, but it comes back to you, even as we move forward briskly past the good things of this time, and there are still many, so as not to lose the goods of eternity. It's Sacred Heart Sunday. This devotion delivers the reminder, you are loved. You are loved. And this is never out of place. They want hatred, trying to revive the old hatred based on race, an old and discredited idea a century ago. So many are lost between the hatred and the fear. Our Lord, the Sacred Heart, is the shepherd who is sick with love for that one old sheep that managed to get out, or the little lamb who snuck away. Holy Mother Church, the other theme of today's gospel just now sung, born in blood and water of Christ's pierced side, Christ the new Adam, there at Calvary, the church today counts the coins which constitute her dowry. She counts them a second time, and then she lights a lamp to look for the missing one needed to fulfill the predestined number of the elect. She's all the time, one way or another, sending out search parties. You have a role in that. There's St. Anthony's story. It's his feast today. A fitting saint to preside over a graduation Sunday. He was an Augustinian in Portugal. And as a student, he requested a transfer away from the capital city and all of his family and friends. He was a popular lad who besieged him so that he could find a quieter monastery in the country and dedicate himself for years to study and prayer, memorizing almost the entire book of the Holy Bible. He was inspired to become a Franciscan. He thought he would preach to the Muslims and be martyred, sort of 1, 2, 3. But it was not meant to be. Italians and the French were his pagans and his heretics. And finally, his great job was to be a teacher. He's the first teacher of the Franciscan order. St. Francis, the founder, was asked, and he allowed, as to how, yes, they could study theology as long as humility does not suffer. Knowledge puffs up, St. Paul says. It's an occupational hazard. The world, St. Anthony once preached, the world is like a field, and to bear fruit there is as difficult as it is praiseworthy. Then he goes through the history of the religious orders. The hermits bloom in solitary places and shun the company of men. Monks blossom in the cloister garden, like the one that we have there next to the church. Enclosed, they hide themselves from the eyes of man. How much more glorious it is if a Christian brings forth fruit in an open field. That's you, graduates, and faithful, all of you, Christians. Our school and our dear homeschoolers start with the little ones, and they're like the hermits. They're all separated and by themselves. And then after that come the monks with books, yes, and copying and study, but also, and most of all, occupied with the worship of God, the masses and the feast days and the holy seasons and serving and singing and helping out the daily worship of the Almighty. But then the open field awaits. Your time has come. Go forth. This is our system of education. And St. Anthony points to the ideal. Therefore, did Christ glory in being the flower of the field? They say by flower of the field, he meant the crocus. You know, it's one of the first spring flowers to bloom. It's a brave little fellow. It pokes his nose out through the snow. Colorful, but a brief career it has. But it contains within itself, the crocus, a bit of precious saffron, a spice still today highly valued, rare, and expensive. These are our graduates. Oh, they'll eat you up, of course. That's St. Peter's point in today's epistle. And they'll cook you to boot. This is the sense of the epistle. Brethren, be humbled before the strong hand of God. He will raise you up at the time of visitation. Just throw on him the burden of all your worries. He is concerned for you. Be sober. Watch well. The devil, who is your enemy, goes about like a roaring lion to find his prey. But you, grounded in the faith, must face him boldly. You know well enough that the brotherhood you belong to pays the world over the same tribute of suffering. And the God, who is the giver of all grace, who has called us to enjoy after a little suffering his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, he himself will give you the victory, the mastery, and steadiness, and strength. To him be glory and power through endless ages. The time of visitation that refers sometimes to affliction, yes, and sometimes to consolation, and on our part, at all times, patience. God has care of us. The worries, you are meant to throw them back at God. That's the sense of it. What our graduates this morning, or you all, as you came into church today, may have been worrying about. How are we to manage? How will they manage to manage their lives? Give that anxiety to God to get rid of it. Be sober next. St. Peter says too much drink leads to idol worship, to apostasy. But it's the devil himself, Satan, for whom we must be on the watch. And why is that? He tempts us to fall away from the faith. To lose the faith is to lose everything. When are we tempted? Under persecution, pressure. He hungers, Satan does, for souls, as does the good shepherd. Not to save them, but to damn them. For Satan to dethrone God in one soul is to overthrow God himself. He lives for those moments. That's everything for the evil one. Whom resist ye? Strong in faith. It is the faith we're talking about here, revelation, what we believe as Catholics, strong in the faith. And the idea of strong in the faith, that's having a good foothold when you're engaged in a tug of war. Next, the people St. Peter writes to have to learn to get the knack of bearing up, not wilting, under persecution. As Christians, so do we all. How are you doing with that? I mean, the pressure. If it hasn't come yet, it will. Talk to your children. Don't ignore it. Have a plan. Don't try to blow it off. After all, St. Peter says, all of us believers have to pay the same tax. You know how it is with taxes, you can't really escape them. But this tax is not to the government, but to God. It is the tribute of suffering for your principles, your Catholic faith. And the church is the usher your whole life long, who passes the basket. And we all must contribute something of the celestial currency of suffering, one writer phrases it. And for that currency, there is no inflation. Oh, we have to suffer persecution first, but not to worry. It's only going to make you stronger, like all of those years of study and taking tests and the rest. Today's collect ends with the same thought as the epistle, passing through temporal, transitory suffering, which leads to eternal glory. He'll help us if we do our part. Oh, and by the way, specifically, what suffering did St. Peter have in mind? Well, this epistle was written after Nero burned Rome down, and then he pinned the blame, it's been known to happen, on the Christians. And for their punishment, they were made into living torches, street lamps at night, where? At the Vatican, which is now the center of the new one-world religion. It was called then the Vatican Circus, and these living torches lit up Nero's festivals that were held on that hill. And I just discovered a new term for the communist revolution we're all suffering from, the COVID circus. That is a circus, sometimes ludicrously funny, but not always amusing. What's next? Nobody knows, but you're ready. And there's no going back. That's an odd sort of a message to get from me and from so traditional a church as ours. But you can't live in the past. That's gone now. Be ready for it. There are three great truths we should have learned from our time already at the circus. First, Christianity is disappearing right now in this country before our eyes. Second, this has happened because 60 years ago, the Catholic Church, the light of the world, was eclipsed. Third, the government persecutes its own and never gives back what it has taken. We too, dear graduates, go forward bravely into an unknown future. All of us are the graduates of the school of the scandemic, and I hope we've learned something. We have to travel light now, from now on, but we can't go anywhere without Jesus and Mary. Saint Hyacinth, one of the first preachers of the Dominicans, spent a long time at Kiev, the capital of old Russia, in what is today Ukraine, and the inhabitants of that city always resisted his teaching. Well, finally, in punishment, the Tartars, the barbarians, came and besieged the city, and Saint Hyacinth was finishing Mass, and it was almost too late to get out, but he took the Blessed Sacrament with him. He was wearing his priestly vestments, and he went to leave, and he passed by Our Lady's statue. It was a big alabaster statue. And she said to him, "Hyacinth, where are you going? You leaving me behind?" "No, Blessed Mother." So he climbed up on the altar, and with the other arm, he took the alabaster statue, which was as light to carry as a feather. And then he passed right through the rioting and the slaughter in the streets to the banks of the river Dnieper, and he walked across it. And they said as far as recently as the 19th century that if you stood in the right place on the banks, you could still see in the water Saint Hyacinth's footprints. He's a good saint for our age. Because after Jesus and Mary, we can only take three things. And the first is the unchanging faith. Second, the unchanging Mass. Third, unchanging morals. We travel light. But with these treasures, we keep on moving. There's no going back. We're not looking for an elusive past, not here. We have our eye on eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.